Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'll tell you what, Pirates fans are not taking these losses to the A's well. Mike's Beer Bar was packed with fans who came pouring out of PNC Park. They were disgruntled. They were offended by the Pirates' performance last night and today. Our insider at 93.7thefan.com, Jeff Hathorn, who is not one to use hyperbole or is not someone to really throw crazy opinions around, he is calling it a humiliating 24 hours for the Pirates.
I think that's about right.
Throwing the H word around.
Get outscored, what, 20-7 in two games? Is that right?
By a team that was on pace to finish 100 games under 500, Malzi. Gave now up, merely only 127 losses is the new projection for Oakland.
So they gave up, if I'm scoring this at home, the most runs Oakland scored in a game this year.
Yep.
Followed by the most hits Oakland's had in a game this year.
Correct.
Seems pretty bad.
Let's get Greg Brown's take on it all, brought to you by Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone is talking about. All right, Greg, your takeaways from this Pirates brutal series loss to Oakland.
Yeah, I think it was brutal. I know it's humiliating. Maybe humbling is a good one for me. I feared this series. Looking at it last week, I said it.
Feared.
It's a trap. It's a trap series. You know, when you play certain teams at certain times, we've talked about it before. When the Pirates beat the Dodgers last year, swept them. I think they won all but one game in the season series against the Dodgers. It happens. Not good. All three games were ugly. Three of the ugliest games I've seen. And even the win was ugly. So it was bad and good for the off day. And they'll play a whole lot better on Friday against the Mets. The good thing is that this division is still very much up for grabs. And if the Brewers lose against the Baltimore Orioles tonight, the Pirates remain only a half game out of the division.
How concerned are you, Greg, about Mitch Keller, given the way these last three starts have gone for him?
I'm not concerned yet. The start before last, you know, and I don't say this a lot, but watching that game and being there, the 75% of the hits he gave up were broken bat, chunkers, ground balls. And he had the strikeouts. This last one concerned me a bit because he didn't have any strikeouts in the first, I think, three innings of the game. And his stuff was just – he's still throwing 98, but he had no command whatsoever. And, you know, so in that respect, hopefully it's just a blip on the radar. But now I'll focus in on the game against the Mets. It'll be huge this weekend, see how he does. He's going to go on Sunday, and that'll be a telltale sign for him. But the start before last, I don't lump that into his last three. So I'll say he's been you know, less than average in two of his last three starts.
All right, how about the guy today, Contreras, who just killed him, can't even get out of the first inning. The first seven guys' reach was just awful. On the heels of being told, all right, kid, you're moving to the bullpen. Then he gets a reprieve because of the Velasquez injury. He follows that up with a start on Friday where he was terrible, got bailed out by Hayes and Palacios, and so he doesn't take the L there. And then this was just non-competitive. What's happened to this guy, Greg? I thought he was going to make a big jump this year and become one of the great young pitchers in baseball.
Yeah, it happens. It not easy. It was just his, I think, 11th start of the year, his 30th start of his big league career. I think they wanted him to go to the bullpen for a little bit and see if he could work out some of these issues. I know there had been talk about tipping his pitches. Talking to Oscar Marine a few weeks ago before he went into the bullpen about trying to get him to stand up taller in a set position, going from the waist up to the letters, stand up taller rather than being hunched over, that might help his velocity. And he was not good at all today. If there is a bright spot, it is the fact that the Pirates luckily have two off days coming up tomorrow and then a travel day as they go to Chicago on Monday, which means if they wanted to, they could throw Contreras back into the bullpen for a while until they need that start, which wouldn't come until, I think, Milwaukee a week from this Saturday. So they still have plenty of time to throw him in the bullpen. Let Ortiz pitch pretty good today. That was a positive. So throw him in the rotation. Let him pitch against the Cubs on Tuesday next week. And then worry about Contreras, try and work his stuff out of the bullpen and get him back in the rotation. And hopefully they get him straightened out. Because he's still young. He's still got a ton of talent. It's still there. And, you know, we've seen it before that it takes some time for guys to figure it out, and he's still learning.
Brownie, with him, we know that Keller's big strikeout totals were sort of a sign for people, along with the actual results of his games, that he had turned a corner and really become an upper echelon pitcher. Why do you think it is that Contreras, despite having the really good stuff, hasn't really consistently been able to strike batters out yet in the major leagues at a high clip?
Well, yeah, that's a great question. I don't know, Chris. I don't know what is different this Contreras than the one that we saw in that first spring training game a couple years ago that excited the Pirates so much. I mean, they're still excited about him, but he's a different kind of pitcher. I don't know enough about mechanics or watching guys. Whether it's their delivery, what it is. I don't get into the numbers and dive into the pitch usage and all that. I just from what I see, he's just not the same guy. He's still effective. Did he become more predictable? I don't know. His fastball was better out of the bullpen. This two inning stint he had, it was a couple of ticks harder. Maybe he goes back to the bullpen and a couple outings he figures that out. I don't know if it's mental. I don't know. But he's still super talented. He's still really good. And I just have all the confidence in the world that he and Oscar Marine and the guys that work with his pitching staff will help him figure it out.
Greg Brown brought to you by Spitzer Acura. Visit them at SpitzerAcura.com. And for the Pirates, lost again today, the lowly A's. Greg, do you think that Priester is an option to replace Contreras in the rotation?
You know, Andrew, I did until his start today wasn't good, at least, shouldn't jump to conclusions and suggest that it wasn't good today, but it didn't wow you, the numbers today in his outing against Omaha. What, like five innings, four runs, eight hits? So at least from what I can tell on a box score, he's not ready yet. He's had a bunch of good starts, but I think two of the last three have been not so good. So my guess is he's not ready yet. But probably getting close.
What about the catching situation? Do you anticipate it, Greg, staying static with Delay and with Hedges for the foreseeable future? What do you think is imminent, if anything, on that front?
Yeah, nothing imminent today. Andy, I think they're going to go back and forth pretty much. Yesterday was Henry Davis getting his first AAA start behind the plate. And Andy Rodriguez played first base today. I think that's what we're going to see. Andy Rodriguez caught. Henry Davis played right field. He had his first Triple A hit. It was an RBI triple. Andy Rodriguez had a couple of hits. I think they will let this play out. And I suspect that the guy that starts tearing it up, if one guy starts to tear it up in the next couple of weeks, we'll see one of them, and then they'll address that when they get to it. You know, the fact that they can bounce around from behind the plate to either right field or first base means that, you know, they could carry three guys, I guess, if they wanted to, and let you know, ease Endy or Henry into that position. I still think that Endy Rodriguez is ahead of Henry Davis, so my hunch is that he'd be the first one to come up. But all that will play out in terms of what they do offensively. As soon as somebody starts to really tear it up over a good stretch, a couple of weeks, that's when I think they'll be up here. And I stick to my prediction that Endy will be here by, you know, we talked about this about a month ago. I still believe, unless something drastic happens, disastrous to a degree, injury, knock on wood, that he'll be up here by the end of next month at the latest.
Greg, do you think after talking to Ben Cherington as many times as you have that, like, the pitching situation, if Contreras is bad and Priester isn't ready, do you think Cherington has approval or has the – approval's probably not the right way I want to ask this, but do you think Cherington has the mindset to want to go out and get someone and make this team in 2023 better, even if it's just a rental guy?
Man, I don't know, Andrew. I don't know. You know, I think it could serve two purposes if he did that. If he didn't think guys like Priester were ready, I could see him going out to get someone that would fill out a rotation and at the same time help you win ball games. So I guess to answer your question, I'd say yes. And I think he's gutsy enough, Cherington, that he would do it. I'm not going to say he is going to do it, but I think he would do it if it got to that point. He's not afraid. You know, that's one thing I really have liked about him. He'll make deals. He'll bring guys up. If the guy starts to be bad, he sends them down. He DFAs them. If he makes a trade and the guy's no good, he'll, you know, as I say, he'll let them go. I mean, minor league guys that get called up, if they don't perform, they go back down. Acquisitions, if they don't perform, they're either on to another organization or they're optioned down or DFA'd. So I don't see him being afraid to do something like that.
Do you think he and internally they, from talking to him, from talking to Ben Cherington, still view this team as very much like a year or two away, and that they're not going to do too many maybe big moves if the team is in contention to try to keep bolstering them, because they still are taking a long view on things, Greg?
Yeah, they're not going to. There's no way that he's going to, you know, sacrifice the future because they don't. I personally believe, and heck, he said it, so I'm not. This is not no secret. That this team surprised them. They're, you know, a couple of weeks ago I asked him about on his show about internally what the projections were, because that's, every team does this. They've got their analytics department. They put all of it together and figure out what the win projection is each year. And as he said on the air that day, and then we go out and try and beat that projection. Well, they went out and they beat the projection. As of a couple of weeks ago, I still think they're on pace to be ahead of the game, and they'll do what they can to support this team, but there's no way they go out and make some big, bold trade to try and put them over the top this year, because I still think they believe that to be real legit contenders for a long, I mean, a really good team, one that doesn't have the April that it did, one that doesn't play like it did the last 3 days and is consistently out there every year, strong in the division, that's still, I think, the original projection, my guess is, was probably 2024. That doesn't mean they're giving up on 23, but I just don't see them making any kind of huge blockbuster deal that would sacrifice the future next year and beyond.
All right, Greg Brown, after leaving PNC Park following a disappointing loss by the Pirates to the A's, they get back on the horse Friday night against the Mets. Thank you, Greg.
Okay, guys, thank you.
I feel a whole hell of a lot worse than he does. I think the Keller thing is a much bigger deal than he let on. To me, it's not just one start, the San Francisco start where he won. There were strikeouts, but I think 10 balls were put into play with an exit velocity over 95. that 95 number is considered a, quote, hard hit ball. He got squared up in that game, too.
Yes, he did.
And he gave up home runs and gave up extra base hits in Seattle like crazy. So I don't think it was just numbers and balls finding daylight and duck farts and Texas League.
No, he's getting hit harder, more regularly, bottom line.
And, Greg, the one thing I think we do agree on is he doesn't have any answers for Contreras right now. You know, he's at a loss.
Why doesn't he strike out more batters? Don't know.
Sometimes young guys take a longer time to develop. Well, that doesn't help the Pirates right now. They got to find answers, and I agree with him on Priester, too. Priester doesn't deserve getting called up. His ERA is over 4.5.
One other thing I agree with him on, if this team does manage to linger around and hang right around the lead, though, I think people are going to be frustrated because I don't anticipate any kind of significant, you know, addition at the deadline. I really don't.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Two strikes, two outs, bases loaded. The pitch, swing and a ground ball, hit hard, knocked down by Noda, and he'll race to the bag to get the final out. Oh, if that gets past him, it's a couple of runs, but instead Trevor May holds on and the A's win a series that equals their longest winning streak of the season. They've won two in a row.
Pirates get beat by the A's in back-to-back games, and neither game was really close. Blown out last night, give up 11 runs today. You're down 7-0 before fans are even inside the ballpark. Contreras only gets one out, and you blew a golden opportunity. You could have had the longest winning streak of your season. You could have been in first place. You could have been the team that everybody was buzzing about and talking about in baseball again. The Pirates, what a recovery, what a rebound after a lousy May. And you just gave back everything you did, really, against the Cardinals. I know you technically won 3 in that series and didn't get swept, so it's not like it's even Steven on the record books.
It feels worse to lose 2 of 3 to them than it feels good to sweep the Cardinals.
That is 100% right. I feel worse about this than I do comparing that to how good I felt after they swept St. Louis.
I frankly don't even feel like the win in this series feels like a win. I mean, it was just gross incompetence by Athletics pitchers in the first game. It wasn't like the Pirates took advantage of all those walks and just buried them something like 15-1. They had to have they had to retake the lead.
Yep.
They had to have McCutchen come up and deliver a professional at bat. They couldn't do anything on their own. And then they got smoked these last two games.
I thought you got a staunch admission from Brownie there when he said that he was fearing this series for a while now. When you have that feeling about the worst team in baseball, that tells me that you don't think your team is any good. You should be licking your chops. The players should be asking for limousines, driving them for wherever they live in Pittsburgh to the ballpark to make sure they're just completely comfortable and relaxed, to make sure that they're in the lineup and ready to go against the A's. There must have been a sprint into Shelton's office.
I can go. I'm ready, coach.
Begging him.
I'm ready, Skip.
Play us against this team. You got beat by a pitcher who was winless with an ERA over 8 last night, and a guy who recorded his first major league win with an ERA close to 7, Hollywood Hogan Hoss, or whatever the hell the guy's name is. Some bum today.
And more importantly, your two pitchers that you were counting on, one guy had already looked like he had gotten there, and the other guy you kept hoping was going to get there this year at some point to be like the anchors of your rotation, functioned as anchors in the bad way.
And I think you actually treated today like a game you wanted to win. You didn't give McCutchen the day off. You didn't give Reynolds the day off. You didn't give Hayes, who's hot, the day off. You played pretty much your lineup with the exception of your catchers, which you'd usually do day game after or night game,
sure,
day game situation. And you played Mathias because he hits lefties decently. So there was no let's give you the day off just because you need rest or get you off your feet. No, the Pirates played to win today and got smoked. So just brutal. Jeff Hathorn calls it humiliating. Brownie called it humbling. What do you say about the Pirates getting beat by the A's last night and again today? 412-928-9370. Here's Ed on the Fan. Hello, Ed.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, bro.
So my main concern with the Pirates right now isn't, you know, this A's dump series where they get killed. It's their inconsistency this season. They've had stretches where they win 6 games and then they go out and lose 7. That can't be happening with a winning ball club in the MLB. That's not going to cut it. They're going to go and play the New York Mets and probably get swept, if I'm going to be honest with you. They just need to find a rhythm, whether that's lose a series, then win a series. They need to find this common ground where they consistently play baseball and they don't make these stupid mistakes and they don't hit these games where they let up 7 runs in the first inning. It's killing them. It's ruining their morale. And it's actually just killing the team as a whole.
It would behoove them to beat the worst team in baseball, at the very least 2 out of 3, but probably sweep them. It makes me wonder, you could talk about finding a rhythm all you want. If you could beat this badly by the Athletics, are you really a team that can be taken seriously? I would have serious questions about it, and I do. And that's why it was hard for me, Pony, thanks to the phone call there, to jump on full bore with this team when everyone wanted me to after they swept the Cardinals, because this for them is always looming around the corner. I brought it up just to kind of as a little bit of a troll earlier. I said, well, the Atlanta Braves lost 2 or 3 to the Athletics. You correctly pointed out the Braves are a better baseball team that's won a World Series recently.
They're allowed to take somebody lightly.
No, they've earned the benefit of the doubt is what they've earned. When things go bad for them in a series against the Athletics, the Atlanta Braves have earned the benefit of the doubt collectively. The Pirates haven't even come close to earning the benefit of the doubt. There still should be plenty of doubt.
I don't put this on Shelton as much as I do their 2 starting pitchers. I know that they scoring 2 runs isn't going to get it done most nights, and you should score a lot more than 2 against a dude with an ERA over 8. But your starting pitchers both sucked in both games. And after you won on Monday and were lucky to win, you had probably one of the most lopsided pitching matchups on paper of the entire baseball season.
I think
going into last night's game,
they were -290 on the money line on that game. That has to be the biggest favorite Pirates have ever been in the Charrington era.
And it's like, okay, you lost, that sucks, shouldn't happen, where you get blown out by a team that's on pace to lose 130 games by 9 runs. But here's Contreras, a chance for him to show people that he's got the stuff, he's got the makeup, he's got the material, everything you need to be a good starting pitcher in the major leagues against a minor league lineup.
I'm going to put my foot down kind of day.
Yeah. Keller do that earlier in the year against the Dodgers. Contreras, you look for signs or things that are going to – maybe he doesn't deliver at every start, but little clues or little signs that eventually he's going to be a really good starting pitcher for you.
Yeah.
And I think he's been their biggest disappointment, even more than Hayes now. I think he's their biggest bust of the season, the way things have gone for him, where his ERA is almost 6 now.
I can't point to many good games that would refute that. He pitched a good one in a loss against Baltimore. He went, I think, 7 innings, gave up just 2, and they got shut out. But he's supposed to have an electrifying arm. I still wanted to believe that he had a much higher ceiling than Keller, and it just looks like he hasn't delivered it at all. I know he hasn't.
Here is Roadrunner on the fan. Hello, Roadrunner.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Well, another Acme rocket blew up under the Wile E. Coyote again. And I don't understand why they're not going to get to the point where instead of having all these guys who are basically versatile utility players moving from place to place and having players in place for specific positions. It's just frustrating to see this time and time again.
What are you pissed about with moving guys around? Give me something specific.
I'm talking about you got two guys again playing. You know, first baseman is never there consistently. You know, in the outfield.
Santana's played just about every game. Plays every day.
Well, let me put it back to you this way then. It's like when McCutchen was a starter, he was a fixture in center field, okay? They want to move guys around. You know, you've seen some of the mistakes that they made because
I don't think they did a lot of that this series.
No, they tried to send out what they thought was their 9 best on the field.
They sat Sawinski today, but that's because he can't hit lefties to save his life. That's the one guy they gave the day off, and I don't think that was a rest thing. I think that's finally an admission on their part.
He can't do it.
He can't hit lefties at all.
And you got, like, the production you hope Sawinski gives you against righties from Rodolfo Castro, who destroys lefties. He was the only guy today that looked even competent was Rodolfo Castro.
Here's Sean on the fan. Hello, Sean.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Hey, man.
Hey, I was just wondering your thoughts on this. Do you think, I know and understand this is pretty difficult to do in baseball, but that they may have overlooked this series a little bit. I mean, you just lose the cards. The Pirates' kryptonite, and they were already maybe looking ahead, but you need the New York Mets this weekend. Thanks for the call.
They better not have been, or else I don't think they were. Do you? I don't think they were looking ahead.
I thought that on Monday night they actually had good at-bats. And that they were pretty patient and not trying to go outside of themselves when guys were missing the strike zone. So I agreed with most of the sentiment that they won an ugly game in large part because they were patient and they took what the other team gave them.
That should have disabused,
on an off night.
That should have disabused them of the notion that this was going to be an easy series. It was a 5-4 game where they had to scratch and claw to get any runs across.
I think it takes the wind out of your steams when your number one pitcher, who is unhittable for his first 10 or 12 starts of the year, whatever it was, all of a sudden looks super mortal and can't figure it out and is visibly frustrated by it and looks a lot like the guy that struggled for the first 3 years of his career.
It shouldn't, against this bad of a baseball team that they were playing, it shouldn't carry over that much. You shouldn't have a full day hangover because Mitch Keller had a bad start. If that's enough to cause what happened today, then they're not even close to a serious baseball team.
Well, that's what, going back to what Brownie said, that he had a bad feeling about this series. If you think you're a good team, if you think you're a great team, if you trust your team.
You don't say that.
No.
I also think you don't say what Brownie said at the end of the interview, if you trust your team, if you think that they're going to do it. What did he tell us? They're going to take a day off and come back and play much better baseball against the Mets. You know what that strikes me as? And I'm psychoanalyzing a Brownie answer here. Wishing's trying to wish something into existence. I will say it, therefore it will be.
412-928-9370. You can look at it as a situation where crappy stuff happens to a team. You have one stinker series. You have a series like they did last year against the Dodgers where they beat one of the best teams in baseball. But when it forces you to ask bigger questions about very important core pieces that are young components of your team, then I do think most of the, like, Jeff saying it's humiliating is right.
Mm-hmm.
Him saying that, him saying that you didn't lose
100%
accurate. You didn't lose nail biters or close games, or we'll get him tomorrow
to the Rays.
You got outclassed, man,
by a team with none, where they've got what, rats and possums in their home building. They're the closest thing to actually the Cleveland in Major League, in the real Major Leagues. And the Pirates got...
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter. And Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, it's time for the Hodgepodge of Nothingness, presented by Nemacolin. Around every corner, Nemacolin creates real-life magic for guests.
This is a Hodgepodge of Nothingness.
Malzy, do your best Ricky Henderson and get in there. Start us off with a walk and then two steals.
Oh, my God. I just got, I'll tell you what I was just doing during the break.
More smog research.
No, getting unbelievably existentially bummed out by what, you ask? Danny DeVito interviewing Arnold Schwarzenegger. Schwarzenegger just going on and on about how he doesn't want to die. He's like, I love life too much. I can hear it in his voice.
Reminiscing about making twins.
Yeah. I love going to the beach. I love getting a pump, riding my bike. And then we're going to die.
Why? Is he sick?
No, he's just talking about it. Like, his answers are just all about, like, this sucks. One day we're gone and that's it.
You can't live like that.
I know, but it sounds like a guy who's made tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars is.
So what did DeVito do? Did he try to talk him out of it, or did he disagree with him?
Look at these little clips. You can see them on my computer. Basically, DeVito is pulling a Spence here. He's just going, no, yeah, uh-huh. And Schwarzenegger just keeps going. I'm incredibly bummed out now. I can't give you a Ricky Henderson. I'm giving you more like a Roansy Contreras first inning here.
Didn't Schwarzenegger get in trouble when he was the governor in California for some funny business with...
Yes.
With, I think, either someone who might have worked at his house?
Yeah, he fathered a child. There was a lot of funny business and a lot of stuff he's, like, apologized for in, like,
and who was his wife, Maria Shriver?
I think still is.
So he stayed with him?
I think she stayed with him through all that. I believe so.
The Terminator.
This is a hodgepodge of nothingness.
He's talking about termination, and he's bumming me out here.
Apparently, New York City, because of all the smokiness from the Canadian wildfires, does smell like a campfire right now.
Yes.
Campfire smells a top three smell for me. Top three. Also in the top three, gasoline.
Yeah, I was hoping you'd say that. That might be number one.
Also in the top three, permanent marker smell.
Don't
really
like that
intense
one.
Ones.
I don't like that one.
Honorable mention.
Did you huff them?
Yes.
Yeah, you did.
Honorable mention, smell of own farts.
Smell of own farts, a good one. Smell of a, especially when you really cut one that you know is vaguely bad.
And you don't mind it.
Well, you know it's bad even to your own nose. Like, you apparently hear your own voice the same way we all do, which makes you like a one in a million. When you fart, though, and you smell it, and even though your own don't smell bad, that one still cuts through to smell worse. You know that the people around you are about to experience just pure pain.
And you revel in it. At least I do. I'm not like on the Craig Riley.
If it's around like my siblings, like my brother or my sister, because we raised my sister to fart, you know, younger sister. We raised her to be
comfortable. In the Mueller household?
No, my brother and I, like as older brothers, we were like, you're going to fart and you're going to think it's funny. And she does.
Deal with it.
Yeah, embrace if I'm around it. The two of them, man.
Unlike Craig Riley, who still hasn't farted in front of his own wife. And how long have they been married for?
A long time. Have you ever farted in front of Amanda?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, when we do it, though, if I'm around my siblings, I, like, revel in what I know I've done to them.
But how do you have a successful marriage with 10 years of no farting in front of each other?
Just imagine what Craig does when he's on his own, like, as far as farts go. You think he's probably got so many that he's got to get out that he's had to walk into meetings or people have surprised him by coming into his office right after he's just absolutely torn one up, dude. He's peeling the paint off those walls.
I don't get how he still has not done that in front of his wife.
He has to have done it in front of her and blamed the dog at least one time.
If they do get divorced or separated, that's going to be one of the first things I cite and bring up. Well, this marriage was destined to fail. They weren't even comfortable farting in front of each other.
This marriage was temporary, like a fart
like
in the wind.
Like, if they went and saw Dr. Phil, he would tell them straight up, this is not a healthy relationship.
Yeah, he'd lean in there with that big, dumb mustache of his and be like, ma'am, you have to let him pass gas in front of you. And, sir, you have to respect her desire to not have frequent farting.
Yes.
Man, is he a huckster or what? That guy.
Phil?
Yeah, he sucks, dude.
I like his down-home advice.
Yeah, but it's like completely false because he's a bajillionaire who is completely removed from the down-home vibe he's trying to put off. He's a jerk. Dr. Phil
this
or Dr. Oz?
This is a hodgepodge of nothing.
Who do you got? Battle
Phil.
To the death.
I think Phil
Same.
Kicks his ass.
I think he played football at Tulsa.
I think Phil is biting, gouging, doing whatever he's got to do to win that fight. Donnie?
You guys talked a little bit about it earlier. I guess it kind of stole my thunder, but it was a few hours ago. Had to touch on it. The Iron Sheik passed away. All-time pro wrestling legend. One of the greatest heels of all time. One of the early heels back in the day. A champ in between one of the most boring wrestlers ever, Bob Backlund. And you want to talk about hucksters, Hulk Hogan, who the Iron Sheik was not a fan of. Iron Sheik also, greatest pair of boots in pro wrestling history.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think there's much of an argument against it. He had that little curl at the end. Unbelievable set of boots.
How about mustache, too?
Mustache was top five, but the boots were just off the charts.
What were they supposed to be simulating? Like a Persian prince, basically?
Yep.
Like, would wear that? I mean, how did he wrestle in them, too?
He put you in the camel clutch and you were done for.
They were kind of like elf boots.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They look like the Swiss guard that protects the Pope. They would wear them. This is the funny thing about wrestling of that era. He had no other moves. Like, he just punched and kicked and occasionally body slammed, and then he put you in that clutch, and that was it. He wasn't doing super kicks or elbow drops. He was a scientific master.
And he had people hating him. He'd spit on the American flag.
Oh, dude.
He had some heat.
Donnie, when you and I will watch those with Pony in the back, those old ones from, like, the 80s or, like, the Persian Gulf War, his heat was off the charts.
This is a hodgepodge of nothingness.
Well, back to me here. I'm lingering on the Arnold thing, but I'm good now. I am going to get past it. I have another smell, though, that I thought of.
Yeah?
Based on yours. Bacon that has just finished cooking might be the best food smell there is.
I'm going to say something controversial. I think bacon's overrated.
Really?
Yep.
In all forms and applications.
When
did you come to this epiphany? Because this is controversial.
I'd rather have a sausage patty, link, or ham at breakfast.
Ham I can't get behind. No.
I don't really ever need it on a burger or a sandwich. Like, I wouldn't go out of my way to order it.
What about a BLT? Do you like those even?
Never. We never make them at home. I never order them out.
Man, you're missing out on a great simple sandwich.
Or I'm just saving my arteries. I mean, I already do enough damage to them as it is. Cutting out bacon's a nice... It allows me to make other bad decisions.
What is the best food smell
dietary
for you?
Decisions. Food smell?
Like, you've said campfire, gasoline, smell of own farts. It's an inspired list. But what... I mean, that is really one of your best takes ever. What is the best food smell? Like, when Amanda's cooking something... And you just, like, it is on.
Yes, wafting throughout the house kind of deal.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, that hot, steamy, like, wing smell with the hot sauce.
Oh, yeah.
Love that smell.
Whenever I've like
that styrofoam container gets opened up and all the smoke hits you. Oh, I love that.
When I have been making chili, that one goes over well in the house. The old, like, Alex walks in and I hear, before I hear a hello, I hear a
give you another top smell for me. Skunky weed.
Oh, I hate that.
Very
dude.
Dank weed.
Oh, you're saying like so it's good and not skunked?
Like the weed smells like a skunk.
Oh, like
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like a really good strain.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good one. I was just by a car in the West End Circle. The day that the F-150 was blocking the whole lane,
yep.
The car to my left just reeked. Cheech and Chong could have been in there. Everybody.
Blunt and Bell. The regulars.
This is a hodgepodge of nothingness.
All right. Jess is one of the bartenders here at Mike's. She always treats us well. She had an explosive take before the show today.
I thought you were going to say something else.
She wanted us to use the show to find her
a man,
a date.
Yeah.
I think that's a terrible idea.
So do I. I think it's one of her worst ideas ever, and she doesn't have bad ones.
And
usually.
She said, use the platform of your show to tell people to come down here.
That I'm an eligible bachelorette behind the bar.
And take me out because I need someone sporty.
She wants somebody to literally take her out to the ball game, take her out to the crowd. Buy her some peanuts and Cracker Jack. Not the way that song has been sung by Matt Nagy before. Although maybe. You never know.
It almost sounds too good to be true. I would be afraid it was a trap like Admiral Akbar.
By Jess?
Yes.
On somebody?
Yes.
I mean, that's not a very nice thing to say. She's literally like 30 feet away from us right now and at any moment could realize we're talking about her when we point at her. But she soliciting dates from our show is not going to get you, I think, the cross-section of people she's looking for.
And I just...
People calling into shows as Roadrunner.
What do you think is... What do you think that the sheer number of human beings who found their spouse through a sports talk radio program?
Like, ever.
The hit rate, the success rate. You know, some people say... You know,
are Mike and the Mad Dog the first sports talk show ever? Basically, true sports.
No, the first sports channel, not first sports show, but yeah, FAN was the first.
Let's just start the line of demarcation with those guys in around 1990. Is that fair?
Sure.
I would say in all the history of American sports talk since 1990, there have been fewer than 1,000 people who have found love because they both listened to Mike and the Mad Dog or Angelo Cataldi or anybody else. Fewer than 500 couples, 500
marital unions. Like, do you think there's one couple in the greater Pittsburgh area that bonded over Cookin' Joe?
Well, it's definitely not Cookin' Joe.
Just, you know what, we really hit it off when we heard Cook say, I don't know, Joe, I'm not at practice. And that take resonated with us as a couple so much.
It tickled my funny bone when Joe called Ron incrinculant.
I mean, right. Are they making pillow talk and saying, oh, honey, you are so incrinked. I mean, who? No, these people.
Honey, you were great tonight. Well, you see me every day. You know what I'm capable of.
Do you know what? Like, I don't think Jess is really is thinking straight by hoping that our show is going to broker love for her.
Yeah, I don't think so either. In fact, the problem for Jess is, and Jess is the best, she's coming off kind of desperate to do it. Like, she's putting that fishing net in the water a little too aggressively.
Yeah, I think she is coming out of a relationship, so she's on the rebound. And I think at this point, just this wide net that is our show, hoping.
I think she's just got to hope listeners come down here and don't know who she is at first and maybe strike up a conversation with her. But they can't know going in, oh, this is Jess who wanted to be match made through the show. Can't happen that way.
This is a hodgepodge of nothingness.
You know, I did a bad... This is the first time I've ever been at a loss for opinions in the podge. I think the wildfire smoke is getting to me.
It really is. I feel like every break has been spent perusing social media for more bad news on what these wildfires are doing.
You know what? That's a massive personality flaw of mine. It really is. I look for more bad news when bad news is happening.
It's not even affecting you right now.
But you're letting it. Yeah, it's not a good sign. It's pretty bad reflection on me.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.